And we are live. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crypto Gaming Institute podcast. My name is Ben, and today we have the one, the only, Mystery Sean, head of operations at Polygon Studios, which is a Polygon project, and also the host com of at FWB Tweets, and a couple of other really cool things. Dude, you're all over the map. You have so many cool things going on. How's it going today? Thanks for taking the time to come chat.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. I think this has been a long time coming, right? But thanks for having me finally, right? But yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's how crypto is, right? I think there's just tons of great opportunities that are available in the space, like tons of great communities you can be a part of, tons of great projects you can become backers of, work with, you know, get their NFTs, help them out in all those manners. And of course, at Polygon, right? I think with Polygon, I think the best part is that you get to see this entire space from a very bird's eye sort of a manner, right? You're not limited to any particular sort of a thing or a particular avenue in crypto. So I think that's just, you know, how we've been working with, and personally, what's my journey been at Polygon so far. But yeah, I mean, you know, just great to be here with you, chatting more about, you know, gaming, metaverse, Web3 in general.
Absolutely. So I'd love to kind of take a step back and learn a bit more about your history and your story of how you really got to where you are, you know, specifically in the world of crypto and such.
Definitely. So I typically come from a business background. I hold an MBA, and post MBA, you know, I've had stints with in investment banking, then, you know, part of different Web2 based growth related, business related roles at various startups in India. But it was typically just, you know, 2020 when, you know, I decided to take a breather, like a sabbatical, just for a few months to, you know, just take some time off for myself. I think COVID had only just started, so, you know, things were already really bad for everyone around. So, you know, I just figured that, you know, just take care of myself better that way, more of, you know, taking more care of myself that way. I think I just took a sabbatical, and that's when I really got into, you know, the crypto rabbit hole. Of course, I'd heard about Bitcoin, you know, Ethereum, Litecoin, all the biggest, you know, coins out there at that point in time, you know, way back in 2014, 2015, right? But never really had the chance to delve deeper into, you know, what this means as technology, what the implications of that technology is going to be like, and how, you know, it is something that is, that has the potential to change the way we look at lives, right? The way we conduct business, the way we look at culture, the way we do finance, the way we, you know, do a lot of different things. So that's when I, you know, in 2020, during my sabbatical, that is when I started getting into crypto. I started trading earlier, but like, trading is a low-hanging fruit, right? Anyone can just do that. But what I wanted to do was just get deeper into understanding what everything was all about, right? I'm a non-tech person, right? I hold business degrees, and even in my undergrad, it was majorly around business. But for when I got into this rabbit hole, I started learning more about on the tech side as well, around Solidity, you know, how it all works together, how, you know, the networks run, how protocols run. And that is when, you know, I started just reading and understanding more about DeFi, understanding more about, you know, NFTs. I was literally blown away when I came across, you know, the concept of CryptoKitties and how everything was happening on chain and, you know, all of these things. But at that point, the only sort of, I would say, exposure to crypto was fungible tokens, right? Around DeFi, around, you know, just tokens in general. But with NFTs, you know, it just literally blew my mind. And then I went into deeper into the NFT rabbit hole as well, trying to understand what's happening. Of course, I was getting a lot of offers from other startups to join post my sabbatical, but it was just this one time on LinkedIn. I was just, you know, looking at opportunities, and I just saw that there was a role at Polygon to be a part of their growth team. And Arjun, who's the VP of growth at Polygon, I just, you know, directly DM'd him over on on LinkedIn, asking him that, you know, I'm game, I want to do this. And yeah, this in the next, you know, 3 or 4 days, you know, I had interviews with Arjun, then another with Pranav, And then, of course, finally with Sandeep, who's one of the co-founders of Polygon. And then, yeah, I mean, within the next 4 days, I was in Polygon. Yeah, and that's how it was. But when I joined Polygon, right, I mean, oh man, the first 3 4 months, or rather even the first 3 4 weeks, it was tons to learn, right? I was thinking that, you know, I have been in the rabbit hole for quite some time. I know things, but it's when you experience the industry hands-on, working alongside people like brilliant people like all the three that I mentioned, you just truly understand, like, you know, what's happening in the space on a very holistic level. And yeah, I was part of the marketing team to begin with, also part of the DeFi team, but NFTs was typically, you know, what I was really interested in doing, because my background, also on a side note, is, you know, I have a record label in India. I am a visual, a landscape photographer as well. I'm a big sports fan, so culture is very important to me. And of course, you know, nothing in Web3 encapsulates culture as much as NFT. So that's where, you know, on a personal level, my inclinations, you know, lay. And that's how I joined the NFT team at Polygon. Of course, that time we did not have Polygon Studios. It was essentially just me and Shreyansh at that time. But over time, you know, I think we came up with Polygon Studios in August. And there's been no looking back, right? Like, tons of things have happened. So Shreyansh is now the head of Polygon Studios. I'm the head of operations. But yeah, I mean, we have had this crazy journey together around NFTs and gaming on the Polygon network. So that's really been exciting. I mean, the world has changed quite a lot.
I love that. I love that. So I'm so interested in this moment of when you were learning on your own, and it seems like you were digging into different materials, you were reading, you were learning, and then you joined the team, and it seems like that was just a whole new level of learning. What were the things that you couldn't learn outside of the team that were game changers when you got in?
Just the ecosystem, I would say, because I mean, whenever you're doing secondary research, just Googling, just, you know, looking at articles, reading them, I mean, there's only so much that you can do. But when you're networking, you're talking to projects firsthand, you're understanding their thought processes, you're talking to teams, you're talking to teammates who've been in the Ethereum space for almost 5 years now, that's a different sort of an understanding that you start inculcating, right? And I mean, you can only learn so much individually, right? I mean, what you definitely need to understand on Web3 is experiencing and learning is the way to go, right? You can read all as much about DeFi and NFTs, but until you give it a shot, until you become part of that community, until you start experimenting, until you start networking, that is truly when you understand, you know, the true breadth of the brilliance of all these people that are now starting to work in Web3. So that was pretty legit for me in terms of my, you know, learning curve. Again, you know, I was mostly coming from a non-tech background. It was a little hard for me to adjust, right? Because I had no idea what any of that meant, right? What is collateralized lending? What is, I mean, collateralized lending is a Web2 term, but like, what do validators do? What is staking and all, of course. Now looking back, it's pretty trivial, but back then it was just, you know, not tough to understand. But yeah, I mean, these were things that were new to me in terms of tokenomics, and just understanding all of these were, you know, some of the really great learning curves out there. And to be honest, I mean, even today, you know, you just talk to a lot of new projects. There's all sorts of great projects coming up, you know, with different business models, different NFT utilities, different tokenomic structures, right? A lot of different things are happening. I mean, Microsoft just acquired Activision Blizzard just today. I mean, that's such a huge news, right? So that's all these things happening do have a lot of connection to the Web3 world, I believe. And yeah, just learning never stops, man. I think in Web3, I think that is something that you always have to just pick up and go ahead with. I mean, it's just space that's blowing up at such a huge pace right now. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm hiring a lot of folks in the business development marketing team, but even if we hire like 10, 20 people, I don't feel that that's still good enough to, you know, keep a tab on how fast this industry is growing and how much of a learning curve there still is. So yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, in your work at Polygon Studios, it seems like you're really investing in culture, in, you know, NFTs and games. So, what are you really looking for, and how do you go about the decision-making process of saying, okay, we do want to move forward with this, we don't want to move forward with that, so on and so forth?
Right. So just before that, right, I'd just like to explain what Polygon Studios is all about.
Yeah,
So we are
please.
basically, so even before, let's say, 2021, right, I think Polygon was the most widely adopted chain in terms of NFTs and gaming. You know, I think all the major projects around NFTs, around the metaverse, around the biggest games on blockchain were already on Polygon even before the 2021 boom took over. So we just wanted to, you know, sort of take a strategic move, create a separate division or a separate entity that could, you know, cater to specifically this part of Web3 in a more focused manner. And that is why we launched Polygon Studios back in early August or late July or early August, I would say. Just the entire idea was that we wanted to consolidate Polygon as the go-to hub for culture, the go-to hub for NFTs, the go-to hub for, you know, video games, etc. So that's pretty much the history. And what we do is essentially that, right? We want to bring a lot more culture into Web3, whether they are video games, brands, IPs, celebrities, luxury fashion brands, sports teams, you know, musicians, other creators, you know, whatever they are, we want them to enter into the Web3 world, and we'll be there to assist them in whatever capacity we can. A few other areas that we help in are definitely, you know, infrastructure, technical support in terms of, you know, marketing support, in terms of ecosystem support. Let's say they want to work with some of the partners, ecosystem partners that we have. And of course, like you mentioned, you know, investment support. So we have a $100 million Polygon Studios fund. Through which, you know, we partner, or rather we invest in certain projects. Of course, we have an investment committee internally, which collectively takes the decision on in terms of, you know, which projects to back, which not to. So a lot of it typically boils down to, you know, how solid the team is. I mean, just your usual you know, criteria with which, you know, VCs look at projects, right? The strength of the idea, the founding team. And essentially, you know, in Web3, of course, there's this aspect of community as well, how big their community is, and you know, the other backers that they are. So they are like all these different factors that fall into, you know, into the picture. And yeah, I mean, it's not really that different from how the venture capital world operates. So, but yeah, I mean, we have made a few really selective investments in some really great projects so far. And yeah, I mean, to all the viewers out there, if you have a great project, you know, let's talk. Would love to do that.
And so what's your, like, how did you arrive at the thesis of culture? Like, why was that such an important piece for you?
Right. So essentially, right, if you look at crypto or just Web3 in general, everything has been revolving around, you know, finance, whether it's DeFi, whether it's just low-hanging fruit being trading of tokens, right? Everything was around finance. Even on the gaming side, you look at a lot of these games are crypto first, games second. But of course, you know, what 2021 showed us is, you know, the fact that culture was bound to, you know, spring up in Web3. And with NFTs, with gaming, with social tokens, with the creator economy here, I mean, that thesis is turning out to be true. And this is not going to go anywhere, right? Because at no point in history has technology ever been a really close ally with creators, with culture, right? So this is what Web3 technology is enabling right now. And just even you look at the data just on Ethereum last year, you know, creators earned around $3.5 billion just, you know, selling their media or their art, which is more than, you know, what Patreon plus OnlyFans did, even, you know, when you combine. So you look at the scale of what's happening in Web3, right, in terms of culture, in terms of creators, and this is a thing that is definitely here to stay. Of course, there are a lot of issues in the space around, you know, IP management and rug pulls, whatnot. But again, we are pretty early in this space, right? I think there will be solutions and a lot of I mean, mostly solutions around all of these, and a lot of protocols are, of course, working for all of these things to solve for all of these things, right? So, definitely, it's very early. There are loopholes, but yeah, I mean, yeah, we're all gonna make it. I mean, there's no way around it, right? I mean, this is just a great place for culture to belong.
So it really seems like it's an alignment of the incentives where for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, the technology is really empowering the creators and giving, I'd say it's all of us really creating, but giving us the ability to really like own our own content, own a lot of the distribution and to really take more ownership of the whole supply chain of culture and of creation.
Right. No, definitely. I think Jesse Walden from Variant Fund is pretty right when he says that, you know, Web3 is all about ownership. Now, whether it's ownership about your media or ownership about your data, I think that's what is the most magical thing about Web3, right? You own, and there's everything that you own is immortalized on chain. So there's no question of, you know, any questions around, or rather any ambiguity around what's happening, right? Everything is very transparent. Everyone can just look, everyone knows who owns what, right? And on-chain reputation will at some point in the future become as good as, you know, the reputations that we have in the current Web2 social media space, right? So that's definitely there. I think ownership is a huge aspect, and the ability for creators to create and, you know, their fan bases and own those fan bases irrespective of any platforms on Web3. I think that is the most striking part as to, you know, why we need more culture on Web3. I mean, it's just a great medium for everyone to, you know, create long-lasting relationships with each other, grow together, irrespective of any platforms out there, right? As long as it's all on chain, on a chain that is, you know, as secure and as trustworthy as Ethereum, I think everything will solve for itself.
I love that. So we're seeing a lot of changes in the marketplace, and I agree with you. I think, you know, last year was kind of the rise of the NFT, or 2021 was kind of the rise of the NFT. I personally think 2022 and beyond is going to be the rise of crypto gaming and the metaverse in a big way, with a lot of substance, real substance behind it. But as far as just what you're seeing in the marketplace, like, what do you see the year of 2022 being? And what do you really see as the future of where the market's going, where the projects are going, and who's going to be the most successful moving forward?
Right. I think one is, of course, you know, crypto gaming. I think, you know, with Polygon Studios, a huge area of focus for us is gaming. You know, I'm hiring for VP of gaming, director of gaming, and a lot of other roles at Polygon. So, you know, we are definitely looking at this space very strategically, very important manner. So gaming is typically, you know, what will really drive mainstream adoption of Web3, right? It's easier for people to play games rather than, you know, use DeFi protocols and, you know, terms like, you know, stable coins, fractionalized stable, everything else, right? I think gaming is definitely going to boom. And what we are seeing right now is that trend, right, where a lot of these AAA gaming studios are seeing a talent exodus. A lot of their, you know, bright developers are now moving to create indie game studios that will utilize blockchain. So typically what you will expect now is basically, you know, better gameplay, better AAA quality games that are utilizing blockchain and not the other way around, right? I think what we have seen so far in the gaming space is, you know, those games have been crypto first, game second. There's not a lot of games that can claim to have the best user experience or the best gameplay mechanics or the best graphics, etc., right? But that trend is definitely going to reverse itself this year. A lot of such projects that we are speaking with and are excited about are going to be, you know, utilizing our Polygon chain to, you know, deploy their games on, and we are super excited, you know, for all of those games, because we know this is the next stage of evolution of blockchain gaming, right? So that's there. In addition to metaverse, I mean, that's never going to go away, right? I mean, that's only the next iteration of the internet, right? We have been in the 2D space with social media right now, but soon everything is becoming more 3D, more experiential. And yeah, metaverse is just the 3D version or the next iteration of social media, right? I mean, just Facebook taking huge steps like this, like changing their entire brand around the metaverse theme. And that speaks volume. Of course, that is much more of a centralized metaverse, which is against the thesis of the open metaverse that we stand for. But again, I mean, that's a big signal to the market that, you know, all of these metaverse related topics aren't going anywhere. And even though, I would just like to say that, you know, on the website, on the Web3 level, I mean, we typically, Web3 native folks, we typically live in a bubble. But as far as metaverse topics come up, you know, it definitely sort of, you know, excites people even on the Web2 side of things, because We have had examples like Minecraft, Roblox, Fortnite, where people are already enjoying all of these things, right? So just having it on the open metaverse on a decentralized network sort of a thing is not really that difficult for them to imagine. What is difficult for them to imagine is, again, the entire concept of ownership in Web3, because they typically don't understand that ownership is the biggest principle for Web3, right? But definitely, I think even on the brand side, you look at Nike acquiring Artifact, then Adidas working with such big Web3 projects and influencers like G Money, Punk Comic Punks, and I forgot the third party, I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge signal, right? That it's just a matter of time before we have all of these big brands venturing into the metaverse side. I mean, we already have players like Boson Protocol that will facilitate, decentralized commerce on the metaverse. We have other projects as well along similar lines that are doing some great work to bring a lot more utility, to bring a lot more brands, to make it a lot more easier in terms of onboarding for all of these brands onto Web3 and the metaverse specifically. So I think everything is just working a lot on that side, right? And just to also, mention another initiative of ours, we are working with Friends with Benefits community to create the Metaverse Alliance DAO. So, we have Matthew Ball as an advisor, Jonathan Glick is as an advisor for that, and we are working on that MAD, Metaverse Alliance DAO, MAD. So all of these will be a token gated DAO, and the entire idea for that DAO is basically to facilitate and promote, the open metaverse. All the projects that would require funding in terms of grants or investments, they can come there, and we will sort of fund all of these projects to basically create the interoperability tools that will make the open metaverse reality, or rather the dream, a lot more closer to reality. But that's definitely happening, and we at Polygon, and specifically Polygon Studios, we are super bullish on all of these metaverse related topics. We have actually even hired a metaverse head internally who's going to be strategically looking at all these metaverse initiatives internally and externally, and that just basically shows where our focus lies as well. So definitely really, really looking forward to what 2022 holds in terms of the metaverse side of things.
Me too. I'm very, very excited for it. So as far as as far as just the technology goes that it's going to take in order to really build all of these things and make things come to fruition, how early are we in the life cycle of the technology? And then how early are we in the world of crypto gaming? I actually tend to think we're pretty early, because we're not seeing so like substantial gameplay and just ridiculous amounts of like we're not seeing the same AAA titles, and we're not seeing the same gameplay quality in the legacy in Web3 as we are in the legacy system. And so I think it'll be a telltale sign when we do have that level of quality of gameplay here crypto natively. But how early on do you think we still are in that whole life cycle of crypto gaming?
Definitely, I think I agree with you. We're pretty early right now. I mean, the games, like I already said, right? Some of the games, most of the games are not really games in that aspect, right? They are great, but at the same time, they're not really that fun to play with, or not that experiential or immersive right now. So definitely agreed with you there. And a lot of people don't even know about NFTs, let alone games, right? I mean, you need to know more about NFTs first, then you get into games, because that is NFTs will basically be the building blocks for blockchain gaming, right? So a lot of people definitely are not aware of NFT. So it's definitely there's a lot of educational cost associated with that, where you have to educate people around NFTs first, about Web3, and how the implications trickle down into gaming for all of these. So we are pretty early on that front, I would definitely agree. I mean, even if you look at data, there are not really a large number of unique wallets that are you playing a lot of games every day, right? I mean, we just have very limited people playing that. at the same time, even if you roam around in the various metaverses, like, you know, let's say even Decentraland, I mean, you hardly see people around, right? I mean, it's like a barren place. I mean, unless there's an event or anything, I mean, most of it is really barren. But yeah, I mean, there needs to be those sorts of ecosystem building, I would say, activities or other ecosystem building efforts also need to be put in place. So, for example, there's this one team called Altered State Machine. They are one of the teams behind the Fluff World project as well, where you have these cute little bunnies with AI modularity and you know, ingrained in them. So they are working on AI agents that can work on almost everything, whether it's a DeFi protocol, whether it's a metaverse protocol, whether it's whether it's just a game. So you can basically insert AI agents inside your NFTs. So for example, right, so what is the metaverse essentially, right? It is basically the digital twin of how we live life, right? But in life, in real life, when you look around, there's all sorts of randomness around, right? Which the current metaverse lacks, right? If you go into Decentraland at any instance or at any point, you know, there's just people moving and nothing else is happening, right? There's no element of randomness. So that is something that Altered State Machine can definitely help. All these NFTs will be ingrained with AI, you know, agents, and bring a lot more variability and, you know, get the metaverse to as closer to reality as possible. So, you know, all these things are definitely getting made. We are definitely early, but there are teams around that who are building such tools. For example, another team, for example, is, Crucible team. They are building interoperability tools for the metaverse that will connect, you know, all the metaverse into one open metaverse. So yeah, all of these tools are in the process. But again, you know, with Web3, all of this is possible, right? In terms of Web3 technology, in terms of being decentralized, in terms of, just having that place that no one owns exactly, but everyone owns. And that is, you know, I think something that is really important for an open metaverse to flourish. So on that front, I mean, even on a tech level, I think we are pretty early. But yeah, I think we are getting there. I think a lot more people are coming. Like just on Polygon, we add almost 250,000 unique wallets every week. So that means, you know, if you assume one wallet to be one person, we are adding almost 250,000 people using Polygon, using Web3 technology for the first time every week. So, you know, that's a lot of onboarding that's happening. A lot of people are getting into all of this. And it's just about, you know, trickling that down into user numbers for all of these games, all of these metaverse projects. So, yeah, I mean, that's my take on it. But yeah,
I love it. I love it. Well, I know we don't have too much time. So just want to wrap up here. Just one last question for you. For the individual who, they see this coming, they know that, you know, the metaverse is coming, you know, crypto gaming is coming, NFTs are coming, and we know we're still early. How would you suggest to best play their hand right now? Would you suggest that they try to create their own project? Would you say go work with one of the, you know, one of the projects that are already crushing it, like you guys? You know, kind of sit on the sideline and learn and maybe make a few bets from an investment standpoint, like how best to play it from here on out?
I think best would be to just, for a normal user, right? I think the best would be to just learn more about the space, just being really active on Discord communities, just being very active on Twitter, just understanding what's happening in the space. And over time, you will get to understand, you know, what kind of projects do well, what kind of projects are great, what kind of communities you should be more aligning yourself with. You know, you can then make those associations with how you are with the community. Definitely that way. Then, of course, you know, you can always utilize, if you're just new and don't have the funds available to, you know, utilize protocols on Ethereum where the gas fees is pretty high, you can definitely, you know, use projects that are on Polygon. For example, you know, OpenSea is on Polygon, which is the biggest NFT marketplace. So you can just go and buy any NFT that you're interested in, you know, without paying any gas fees at all, because they are using meta transactions, which, you know, abstracts away gas fees. So you can just go buy any NFT that you want. In case you want to dabble into DeFi, we have almost all the blue chips from Ethereum on Polygon. I mean, Uniswap V3 also got deployed just a couple of weeks back and has seen tremendous volume. You know, we have QuickSwap, which is the biggest DEX that we have. You can make all your swaps there. You know, again, gaslessly. So I would suggest, you know, in terms of dabbling into Web3, I think utilizing some of what Polygon's ecosystem is all about. And of course, you know, all the metaverse projects are on Polygon as well. So you can always go to Decentraland, experience what the open metaverse is all about. Play games like Skyweaver, which I believe to be, you know, the only AAA quality game that is live right now. So you can definitely go play Skyweaver, you know, and other games. For example, Zedron, which is around sport betting around, you know, horse races. It's also one of the biggest games out there. So even on the gaming DeFi metaverse side, right? I mean, you can definitely go and check out some of the games on Polygon where you don't have to pay a lot of gas fees. And of course, you know, just keeping up with the news in the space on Twitter, Discord, community engagement, I think that's probably the best way to go about learning more about Web3.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Ishan, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate you taking the time. To everybody watching and listening, thank you. And I'll see you all on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me.